Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer this morning hour. We want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. Heavenly Father, I ask that as we've already heard your words this morning in Bible class, but now also in your morning message, that you would give us the eyes to see you clearly. Give us the ears to hear you and to understand what it is that you want us to know. What is it that we're missing in our lives that would bring us closer to you? Lord, that would give you honor and glory, that would uplift you. And Lord, that all praise would be to you. Heavenly Father, I ask and pray that as the word is opened up, that you'd give me the words to speak, Heavenly Father, your words in truth. And Lord, that the message would go out clear. As it speaks to me, it speaks to those that listen. And may it be to your honor and glory, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Loved ones, for this morning, the Lord has led me to a very familiar portion of Scripture, one that has been preached and taught, Bible class, many lessons on, and perhaps most of you can even recite this portion of Scripture without reading the Bible. Being that this weekend is Valentine's Day, the Lord has led me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So if you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to read the whole chapter, please. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, bearing all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. When I first read this, I was reading the scriptures and asking the Lord lay on my heart the message for this morning, and he brought me to this portion of scripture. You know, I thought this is something that we've talked about for many and preached many a times on. And it should be something that maybe we should know, and perhaps many of us already know about it. David, you don't need to tell me about it. I've read this before. I know about it. It's been in weddings. We've had many a sermons on this. But the Lord spoke to me as I read this, and I started kind of looking into it really a little bit deeper rather than just on the surface of it, of saying charity and love that we know. But the question is, do I practice it? That was the question for me. Before we dive into this chapter, just kind of a little background, You know, Paul was wrote this letter to the Corinth church, one that he established, I believe, was his second missionary journey. And then when he was writing these, the first and second Corinthians, the letters, or the two volumes of the letters to Corinth, was on his third missionary journey. And as I was doing a little bit more study about Corinth and where it was at and what was Corinth like, in the time of Paul, Corinth was a busy Roman trading city on a narrow strip of land between the Leona Sea and the Aegean Sea. There were two harbors, and on the west was the Leucian Gulf, and the east was the Aegean Gulf. It was a place that it made huge profits by taxing cargoes that were transported between the two ports. So it was a very busy place. And in the midst of this very busy place, Apostle Paul established this church in Corinth. Now, to say, if you read his letters and his books, you can see that this has been a difficult and challenging, yet I think it was rewarding to Apostle Paul as he wrote all these letters and the things that had been happening within the Corinth church. One of the things also Corinth was known for is idol worshiping. There was a lot of immorality and the sexual sins going on. There was a big temple, pagan temple within the city limits, and that was dedicated to the pagan goddess Venus, known as the goddess of love. So there was a lot of stuff going on. And Apostle Paul, when he heard of things that were happening within the church, because he wasn't there for the most of the time, wrote letters to encourage and to correct and to admonish and to uplift. And he continued to shepherd the church and to write to them. And the one before that was one on gifts. The chapter before that, Paul wrote a letter on gifts, and we can go spend our personal time and read what the other topics that he wrote were. But he comes to this chapter 13. And in chapter 13, he illustrates what love is. He illustrates also what love, what are some of the characteristics of love. As I was reading different commentaries in regards to this chapter, I came across one that kind of stuck to me, and it's not my original, but I kind of understood it, and it was one that I want to share with you, as Apostle Paul said. When he said in the first verse, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass." So Lord willing, this morning I would like to maybe, as we talk about these illustrations, what does it look like? What does it mean? So when he says that, if I don't have charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. When he talks about a sounding brass, we know that these cymbals or brass, they were brass and they had some tin in it, and people would go around and they would smash them together, and they would become very annoying. And it would be very loud. And I read a commentary in regards to this particular one that says that if I don't have love, I become one as a sounding brass. And he correlated that as someone, if you ever knew of somebody that kept talking about themselves and they kept on going on and kept on going on and kept on going on and kept on going on, and they became very annoying because they're talking about themselves and, you know, it really doesn't, okay, I heard it once, I'm done. And I kind of thought that was a little bit funny, because I think we all know of some people that are that way, that, you know, you're getting engaged in a conversation and all they do is they talk about themselves. But it doesn't really mean anything. And that's what Apostle Paul is saying here, that if you talk about, you know, if you don't have charity with your works, the things that you're doing, it doesn't mean anything. And he goes on and says that, or you become a tinkling cymbal. Not very many of you know, when I was much younger, my parents allowed me to buy a drum set. And Every now and then I would, not every now and then, almost every night, I would make a lot of noise because I didn't know how to play. And then as time went on, you know, kind of you got the beat and so forth. But one of the things with the equipment is on the drum set, you know, they had two cymbals. And if you don't clean the cymbals, if you don't clean the brass, there's a green tint that goes on. It starts oxidizing. And then when you hit it, it makes a tingling sound. It's not a very crisp sound, sharp sound. And I thought about that also as I was reading that, that if you don't have love, you don't have charity, you become one of these cymbals that are almost dull. If you don't have, then Apostle Paul writes here in verse 2, says, if you have the gift of prophecy, and in chapter 12, he talked about the gifts within the church and the bodies and the members of the body, that there are various gifts and so forth. Again, you can have these gifts, you can have these talents, but if you have these talents and there isn't a meaning behind it, a meaning of love, a purpose behind it, it's nothing. And that's what Apostle Paul is saying in this chapter of 1 Corinthians. What is the purpose of everything that is given to you? And what are you doing with it? And if you're doing something with it, and you have love because you've got a purpose, and there's something that you take pride and joy in doing because of what God has done in your life and what God has done for you, there's profit in that. But if you're doing it just to go through the motions, there's no profit in it. It's meaningless. In verse 2, it says, if you have the gift of prophecy, if you have the gift, if you understand all mysteries, and if you have a faith to remove all mountains, but don't have faith, don't have charity or don't have love, it says, I am nothing. You're nothing. And then it goes on in verse 3 and says that if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give to my body and give my body to be burned. If I give my body if I take a bullet for somebody else, but I don't love that person, what good is it? What good does it do? It doesn't profit me nothing. But then I looked at verse 4. In verse 4, it gives us the illustrations Apostle Paul puts down as the illustrations and the characteristics of what love actually is. And he says, love, and he starts off with love suffers long. Love suffers long. Or love is long patient. Or patient. Do you and I have patience with one another? Can you and I hold our anger or our temper when things don't go the way we feel that they should go? There are many reasons that we lose our temper. Our kids, they do things that we tell them not to do. Perhaps our spouses. It's in our job area. Perhaps the expectations, we lose our temper because the expectations are not met in our timetable. And we don't have the patience for that. Because I've got something else I need to do. I don't have patience. I want to let it go. Apostle Paul says that love suffers long. And then he goes on, he says that love does not envy. Love is not jealous. Love finds contentment in whatever state we're in. Are you content? Are you content in the state that you are right now? Because if you're not, and because if you envy, or because if you're jealous, that is to declare a state of discontentment. And when we're discontentment, we don't have time for love. We don't have time to be patient. We can apply envy to a lot of things in our lives. We can envy the way somebody else looks compared to us. We can envy the status of somebody else's, what they have in their lives. We can envy the different talents that other people have that maybe we want or desire, but it's not given to us. Whether it's in speaking, whether it's instrument playing, whether it's being handy, many a different things that we can find ourselves that we can envy other people in. Then he goes on and he says that love is not puffed up. It's not prideful. Love does not parade itself. And the word parade there means to be seen. That word parade there is designed to be seen to be the center of attention, center of attraction. And when that happens, humility gets put down and pride gets puffed up. And where there is pride, there's not a whole lot of love. Apostle Paul says that love doesn't have to be seen. It doesn't have to be the center of attention. It doesn't have to show off. But God needs to be the center of our attention. I remember many years, and I'll never forget it, Brother Dushko said that in a circle, if God is not the center of that circle, you are off center. I believe, Brother Dushko, I don't know if you remember saying that, that was maybe a few years back. But it stuck with me. Because God needs to be the center of our circle. And if God is the center of our circle, love is the center of our circle. And it goes on to say that love does not behave itself rudely. It doesn't act unbecomingly or inappropriately. It doesn't seek to cause problems. Love doesn't belittle others. Love respects others. Love is courteous. And love is not abrasive. Goes on to say that love seeks not its own. It is not selfish. Proverbs 27:2 tells us, let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. The opposite of parading is humility, not pride. Christ humbled himself. Christ came down from heaven. He took on the form of man, serving us, teaching us, and dying for us. Christ did not try to make himself great. He didn't try to raise himself up. He didn't try to make himself better than everybody else. Christ died for us. He's shown us what love is. He put a lot of things aside so that you and I can have that relationship with him. Going on, he says that love is not easily provoked. Easily provoked meaning making somebody angry. Or when you get into arguments, escalating arguments, provoking, outbursts. See, anger gives a foothold to the devil. But interesting enough, we can be provoked negatively and we can be provoked positively. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Hebrews 10:24 tells us, let us provoke one another unto love and good works. Let us encourage one another to love and good works. And this word provoke in the Greek definition is to make sharp, is to sharpen, like iron sharps iron. Goes on and tells us that love thinks no evil. Love has no evil motives. It doesn't look for revenge. It doesn't have the attitude they get what they deserve. But love is patient. He goes on to say that love does not rejoice in iniquity, but in truth. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Love does not participate in sin. Love does not gloat over somebody else's guilt, laughing at somebody else because of what they've done wrong. Psalm 51:6 tells us, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make known unto you will make me to know wisdom." And in Psalm 1, it tells us, we're encouraged, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly wicked, or stands in the path of the sinner, nor sits at the feet of the scoffers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Truth. Tells that love bears all things. The Greek uses words to give an example of covering up a protection, like a roof. In bearing all things, it supports what's placed upon it, or covers what's placed underneath it. It guards against resentment, anger, and discouragement. It doesn't complain. It doesn't criticize. Bearing all things requires sacrifice and selflessness. And we talk about bearing all things. Love bears the pressure, faces the trials, and does not give up. Another analogy is, I was thinking about this in homes. When you build a home, you have walls, and then you have what's called a load-bearing wall that carries a lot of the weight either of the roof or the side walls. And those of you that are in construction or know anything a little bit about that, you can use that same analogy of what love does when it bears all things. Love believes all things. To believe all things is not to be understood as the attitude which assumes the best in others. Believe all things is the attitude that gives the benefit of the doubt. Love overlooks the offenses of others, willing to trust one another. And we fail in this aspect when we expect others to fail, when we suspect others to be deceitful, when we believe that others are hiding true intentions and motives, when we believe that we're anticipating others letting us down, or when others have selfish motives, or when our expectations are not met. And then it says, love endures all things. Which means that love that hopes in the face of circumstances that often seem dark, enduring all things. That when things seem grim, when you don't think that you can quite get through. Enduring is to persevere, not walk away, to push forward, putting up with things and people that annoy us. And we know that Christ set the ultimate example for us enduring all things. all the way to the cross for your sins and mine. And I kind of wanted to focus on these characteristics of love because when I go back and I look at that and I look at my life, am I patient? Do I have patience? Am I jealous? Do I envy? Do I want to be center of attention? How do I behave? Do I seek my own? Do I look after what I want? What are my own desires and not others? Do I provoke others to anger? Do I think evil of others? Do I rejoice in somebody else's iniquity? Do I take the time to read God's word and ponder upon his truths? Do I bear with patience those that are around about me? Do I give the benefit of the doubt to those that are around me? Or do I write them off right away? And do I give up when it gets really tough? When it gets really hard to love someone? Do I walk away from them? And he goes on to say, love never fails. But you notice it doesn't just stop right there. He gives three things that would cause love to fail. And you think about it. Prophecies. If somebody comes up to you and speaks negatively to you or about you, will your love towards that person fail? Knowledge, tongues, and whether it be different, maybe a different language, and you don't know what they're saying, you can't understand them. It says love will vanish away. So I share this with you as I was thinking and reading this portion of scripture that we read over and over again. How patient are you with others? How patient is the Lord with you? And have you ever considered what a blessing it would be to others if you were patient with them? Love is patient with good people, annoying people, and bad people. So as we think about these, and I applied this to my life, and where is it that I can go back and say, okay, I've been wrong in this aspect of love to my brother and my sister, or to those that are around about me? I'd like to encourage each and every one of you to go back and reread this and perhaps look at your life and see, do you really understand what love is? What does it mean? And was Christ the one that showed us and was the example for all of us to fulfill love in all these aspects? May God bless his word.